filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, and actually I should say having a Merry Christmas, because the Catholic Church recognizes Christmas as so important and significant that we celebrate Christmas for an entire 8 days, the octave of Christmas, we say, culminating with two feasts. One, the Holy Family, such as today, and tomorrow, Mary, the Mother of God. It's a fitting conclusion to the octave in light of the fact that God became man not in isolation or came to earth as an adult, but he came as an infant born of an earthly mother to a real family. I spent Christmas afternoon and all evening with my family after we finished the morning masses here. And in the afternoon, we were watching one of our old family home videos of a Christmas when my siblings and I were young. You know, you can tell when a kid really likes a present they receive. They're more delighted than normal. Well, it just so happened that in the video we were watching, you could tell that everyone, all my siblings and I, we were extremely excited about the gift that we had received. And amidst the joy and excitement, you could hear in the video, one of my brothers, who probably was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old at the time, say, "Wow, we must have been really good this year." As if the contrary were ever true. This led me to consider, though, the gift that we all receive at Christmas. Christ, our Savior, God Himself. And God knows it wasn't because we were so well behaved, which makes it so more miraculous and telling of God's love for us. But how excited are we about this gift? When we receive a special gift, how do we respond? Well, with gratitude and joy, and we dispose ourselves to be able to enjoy that gift as much as possible. Although the octave of Christmas is nearing its end, our gratitude and joy do not. We can continue to respond and enjoy the gift of Christ, which begins in the family. Today's readings are all oriented towards the family, and it being oriented or centered around God. Mary and Joseph knew and were aware that their child was the Messiah. Now, they may not have realized the full extent of that, but we might not have expected them to just go about their normal lives. We might have expected them to do something out of the ordinary in light of the extraordinary gift that they had received. But no, what do? According to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Adhering to the Jewish faith, they were obedient to the scriptures, manifesting their faith and holiness. It was customary for the mother to offer a sacrifice on her behalf and possibly on behalf of the child as well. What else is the presentation in the temple than an acknowledgement of the gift received? Gratitude to God and recognition that a gift from God is most fully realized only when it is directed back to Him. What happens after the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple? They returned to Galilee. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. They lived their normal lives as normal families, and all that entails, the joys and the sorrows. You know, we say that the church begins at home, in the family. Well, the Catholic Church literally began in a family. Christ grew up in the Holy Family. The family is an irreplaceable foundation and an immense treasure for God's love to permeate into the rest of society. As Pope Benedict said, O God, who in the Holy Family left us a perfect model of family life, lived in faith and obedience to your will, help us to be examples of faith and love for your commandments. The family is where God's gift of love is intended to be manifested. When God is at the center of a marriage, a couple grows more and more in love with each other. And when God is at the center of a family, each individual grows into the fullness of their humanity. But when God is removed or pushed to the side a little, well, we simply have to look to see the results in our current society. The devil does not want us to possess or to enjoy the love that Christ offers, and so he attacks the family, setting his sights first and foremost on the husband and the father. In a study published in 2000, researchers found that if the father and mother both regularly attend Mass, 33% of their children will also attend Mass regularly when they're adults. But if the father is not practicing, even if the mother does, 2% will regularly practice their faith. Men and women are different. Husbands and wives are different. Not to the detriment of one or the other, just the opposite. Their differences, your differences, allow for your flourishing. The husband and father of a family naturally possesses the role of a spiritual leader. A child sees that their father deems it worthy and important to practice the faith. They too, at least subconsciously, will see and understand that importance. There's a natural link here. A child's perception of his father's love greatly influences his or her perception of God's love for them. It is in the family that the love of God is born in the human heart and hopefully is nourished and grows. But this doesn't just happen because we want it to. Nothing in life happens just because we want it to. If you want a decent job, then you receive adequate education and you work hard. If you want to be good at sports, then you don't limit your practice time to 1 hour a week. How many of you kids might have received a certain game for Christmas? Probably a video game. To enjoy that gift, do you just sit down and play that video game 5 minutes a day, maybe an hour on the weekend? No, you immerse yourself in it, learning the different strategies, learning how to move up to the different levels. To really enjoy the game, you have to spend substantial time with it. So how does this all tie together? God desires us to receive the gift of his Son. Christ came on Christmas so that we might enjoy his presence. And not just on Christmas or during the Christmas season, but year round. And this can happen anywhere, but it is within the family that God established the most fitting setting for this to happen. A place for it to be encountered, received, and shared with one another in response. And this takes devoted husbands and wives who support one another in this. But it is up to the Father to take the lead. How seriously do you take the promises you made at your child's baptism? It's a question worth pondering. Your love for your children is evident. Anyone can see it. It's manifested by the great time and energy you devote to them, their school activities, their sports, the other things that they have going on. It's evident. But is that same zeal, that same love, applied to living out the faith as a family? Perhaps you can bring back the custom of praying a daily rosary as a family that so many people used to do. Don't wait until your child has religion homework to open your family Bible. Read about the saints together. Go to adoration as a family even. A Catholic author once wrote about priests saying that if you want your parishioners to be holy, then you yourself have to be holy. I know the same is true for the family. Men, if you want your family, your children, to be happy, And to have God at the center of your lives, you have to have God at the center of yours. I believe.